Well, I would like for you, please, to turn to John chapter 10. We're going to continue. And I actually thought we would finish today, but that will not be the case. I was talking to Jim just a few moments ago. One of the most exciting things, it's just, you know, when I read the Word and when I look at things, when I see, you know, I'm reading in the Word where God said, I'm going to do this. And then you see it fulfilled. You know, you see it fulfilled. And what we're looking at, ultimately, it's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just thrilling to see this stuff. And because that's our dad, it's like you know. I think of you know, when you were young and you'd hear stories about your dad, you know, crazy stuff. It was like, wow, he did that, you know. But it was like, that's my dad, you know. And it's kind of like that when you read, you know, God's heart and His unending care for His people, and it's just it's so demonstrated all throughout His Word. Most certainly demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And so, you know, with all those things, we have so, so much to be thankful for. And we're going to read some things regarding Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, which we looked at last week. Remember, we went through John 9 and saw how it was demonstrated. We went back to that guy. You believe in the Son of God? Who is he? It's me. I believe. And it's just, what a moment that was, you know, after he'd been cast out of the synagogue. But you also see demonstrated some of the things that we're going to read today regarding the false shepherds and what God committed to do. And we see some of that fulfilled. And for Jesus Christ to say what he said, and we'll read a few of these verses again. You know, I just look at that. What boldness. What boldness. In the face of these men, it's just, it's remarkable. It's really, and they had, remember, in 8, they had tried to kill him. That's when all this stuff started. He was leaving the temple, blind man, heals, boom, 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 boom. Here we are. And so it's pretty remarkable. But I wanted to pick it up in verse 7 of John 10. And it says, then said Jesus unto them again, these Pharisees, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And remember, we looked at this last week. And it's kind of neat. The kids are going to watch a video today because Deb's going to share John 10:10. And we found this video. It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It's awesome. And what it is it's a flock of sheep on this farm. And they bring in these kids, and the call of the sheep is like, you know, or some kind of word. I forget what it is. But anyway, so they say the word. And the sheep are just, and they just keep eating. Then another kid comes up, does the same thing. Sheep just keep eating, walking around. Then the next kid, he tries it. Nothing. Well, then the farmer comes, and he says it. And every sheep in the field went like this. And then he did it again, and they just came running. It's really cool. But that, you know, Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. And so, you know, this illustration is so awesome. And it's an illustration that's used all throughout God's Word. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that life that Jesus Christ came to bring as the good shepherd, as the true shepherd, was that life from God. It's that real life. And, you know, we saw a little example of these thieves who weren't working for the true God, you know, previous to this. And this is, you know, who he's dealing with. Then it says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Isn't that something? Now, we're going to be looking at that in some detail. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but as we read on in John. But what I want to do is I want to, we're going to end up in Jeremiah 23, but on the way, I want to stop in Psalm 23. Okay? I promised Sydney that I would read Psalm 23. You know, when we were going through the different things regarding shepherds, you know, he brought it up. He said, that's like Psalm 23. I said, yeah, it is. It is. God is called, in Genesis 49, I think it is, he is called the shepherd and the stone of Israel. There are several places. Psalm 76, Psalm 78, where God is referred to as the shepherd. Matter of fact, we'll read one. I did write one down. But before we do, I want to go to Psalm 23. This was, when I was a kid, this was the first passage in God's Word that I memorized at Vacation Bible School. Psalm 23, and what you see here is it is the qualities of God the shepherd. And these will be the qualities of that good shepherd, of that true shepherd, which we're going to read about in just a few minutes. But here in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And as we read this, I'm going to point out there are a bunch of qualities of God, of Jehovah. There are several of his names that are referred to in this psalm. And you'll see those qualities in God the shepherd, which is one of his names. Isn't that something? And so you'll see that borne out. This is the character, the qualities of our Heavenly Father. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This is a reference in verse 2 to the Lord our peace. Isn't that something? He leads me, I'm taken care of. This is God's character. This is God's nature. Verse 3, he restores my soul. One of his names is the Lord that heals. Isn't that something? That's one of the characters of our God. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He's the Lord our sanctification. He sets us apart. He sets his people apart unto himself. Isn't that beautiful? These are the qualities. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is one of his names. The Lord is there. No matter what we're going through, we heard that in manifestations, didn't we? Absolutely. You know, that rod and staff, they comfort me. That rod was guidance to guide the sheep. You know, that staff was used for different things, to sometimes involved in feeding the sheep if they had to bring a branch down from a tree, and sometimes it was a weapon to protect the sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, you're my protector. You lead me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's a great mind picture. Meditate on that one. See? He's the Lord our peace. In the presence of my enemies. He's just setting the table. You got nothing to worry about. Why? Because he is who he is. Right? Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You could state that last verse as, God takes care of me now, and then I've got all eternity with him. Isn't that great? Now I want you to go to Jeremiah. I'll just mention this. I had mentioned earlier that the shepherd, that illustration of a shepherd, or the example of a shepherd, is used all throughout God's Word. You know, God is called a shepherd. We're going to see in a few minutes a little bit about David. Jeremiah was a shepherd, which is where we're going to turn to. Jeremiah 17, check it out. Right, he was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd when he was called. He kept Jethro's flock. Right? And in Isaiah 61, it is that God would shepherd his people by the right arm of Moses. Isn't that something? Moses would shepherd Israel on behalf of God. See? And we'll see in a few minutes how David was a shepherd for God's people. He fed them. See? Jeremiah chapter 23, I should have turned there because I told you to. And it's just so great and fun to look at this stuff. And you see God's heart, you see the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see God fulfilling his word. It's just fun. Jeremiah 23, verse 1, it says, woe! Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. These guys would fall into the category of those thieves and robbers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous sprout. You know, this is mentioned in Isaiah 53 and in a couple other places. Unto David, a righteous sprout. In Isaiah, I think it's a sprout out of a dry ground. Isn't that something? And we'll see a little bit more about that in a minute. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Isn't that something? That righteous sprout of David Now, we're going to wind up in Ezekiel here in a minute, but on our way, I want you to go to 1 Samuel first, okay? Which is actually backwards, but it's still kind of on the way. And I just want to share a couple of things regarding David, things I know you know. But again, it's just thrilling to read this stuff in God's Word and to see how God fulfills these things. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. This was when David was called or anointed. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are these all your children?" And he said, "Well, there's one more. He's the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance. One translation says he had beautiful eyes. That's something. And goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And so Samuel anoints David as king, very young. Look at chapter 17. And I wanted to read this. This is the record where he goes up against Goliath. But in verse 34, Saul had told David, "You're not able to do this." Verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." They had him. They had this lamb. "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him," and what? Slew him. One sheep risked his life. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Second Samuel 5, verse 1. "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel. Thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, and he reigned 40 years. Isn't that something? Now, I want you to go to, and that word feed is the word for shepherd. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and then we're going to go to Ezekiel. "Now therefore," verse 8, "so shalt thou say unto my servant David," God's talking to Nathan here, "thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord tells thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with my fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thine own bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he'll build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Isn't that something? "I will be his father, he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But by my mercy, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That was the prophecy of Nathan to David. And if you read on, it just took David out. He's like, oh, who am I? Who am I? See? But that was that righteous sprout that came out of David. This was what God had promised. See? That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Ezekiel. But let's read a little bit of that. I'm almost done. Isn't this fun to look at, though? I told you it was fun. A little competition going over there. Okay, Ezekiel 34. In verse 34 it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy.
Ezekiel 34, verse 1.
Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? It's a good question. You eat the fat. You clothe you with wool. And you kill them that are fed, or you slaughter the choice animals for yourselves, and you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. There's a figure of speech in this verse. Neither have you done this. 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 And neither have you done this. It's like bringing charges against these shepherds. And then you contrast what we're reading here with the Good Shepherd. All of a sudden, he comes out of the wilderness after being tempted of the devil. He goes into the synagogue. I have come to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, right? See? This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. And we're going to see that as we go here. It's just, it's so remarkable. Yeah. Neither have you sought that which was lost. How, what a contrast of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if a shepherd hath 100 sheep and he loses one, so do the angels of God rejoice in heaven. Look what he did to that blind man. How he went back in and found him and took care of him. You know, I always pictured hand on cheeks. You believe on the Son of God? Who is he? It's me. What a moment. What a moment for that man. you know, another verse, Matthew. I'm just going to read it to you. Matthew 9:36. Referring to Jesus Christ, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having what?
No shepherd.
No shepherd. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. Here in Ezekiel. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I've got to tell you something. When you hear something like, therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord twice, it's like, boom. See, this is stuff that God, it doesn't bless God. He loves his people. He takes care of his people. He leads his people. That's who God is. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, and he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered, in the cloudy and dark day. Now this is referring to a future time. Some of these things that we're reading here are yet to be fulfilled. Hey, you know where we're going to be when they're fulfilled? We're going to be with them. Ha! Isn't that something? We're going to be with them. We're going to see this stuff. We're going to watch it. We're going to take part in it. It's just remarkable. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. They shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I'll destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. I'll take the fat pastures. Verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between, and the King James says cattle and sheep. I think English Standard is lambs and rams. But it's discerning between the sheep and the goats is what we're after here. And that's what takes place. You know, I have it written down. I'm just going to read it. Well, let's finish this. And for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. As for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. What a horrible picture. You know what a good example of this is? Here's a good example. Real simple. A man gets healed who was born blind on the Sabbath day. And what those shepherds were upset about was that it happened on the Sabbath day. How dare you heal a man born blind on the Sabbath day? So that's what this looks like. That kind of thing. That kind of hardness where God is so misrepresented. What his heart is. Who he is. You know, his power. His delivering power. His desire to take care of his people. Anyway, therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, between these sheep. because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Isn't that something? Therefore, will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, between sheep and rams, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant, who?
David.
And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It's done. This is going to happen. You know, where these promises are going to be fulfilled. Now, I want to go to John 10, and we're just going to read. And that's going to be it, and we'll pick up in John 10 next week. But I did want to read these verses, just in light of what we've just looked at. Verse 11 again says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling or a hired servant and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and he books it. He's out of there. He leaves the sheep. They're not his sheep. Not worth his life. And flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling. He's just a paid servant and cares not for the sheep. I am the good sheep and know my sheep and am known of mine. You know, another place in the Gospels, Jesus Christ says, no man comes unto me unless he's called to the Father. Isn't that something? At some point in our lives, that was us. Right? Just sheep kind of gone astray. Whoop. This is so beautiful. So the hired servant flees because he's a hired servant. He doesn't care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and what? The Lord hath spoken it. I think we just read. Isn't that something? Therefore does my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. Now in those scriptures that we read, this wasn't addressed. What this true shepherd would do for the sheep in laying his life down. Because God has something really big planned. But those things are all going to be fulfilled. Isn't that something? Therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power or authority to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So that's where we're going to stop. But what we'll see is nobody took the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave it. He gave it over. It was free will. He was a free will offer. That was one of the things he fulfilled. Isn't that something? And he, as the shepherd, as the good shepherd, again, he would sacrifice himself as also the Lamb of God on our behalf. So, isn't it neat just to see some of this stuff and just the character of our God? It's breathtaking. So, amen? All right.